You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy? You're the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us for this segment, Mike Morgan, the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels, and Derek Druschel, the owner of Joey's Pet Outfitters. Welcome to the studio, both of you. Derek, I wanted to bring you into the conversation to talk a little bit about the issue of dog parks. We'll get into in a minute, but the issue of control of your dog when they're off-leash, because ultimately, that really is the issue that matters when you take your dog to the dog park. And I've got to say, of all the places where I've gone and seen dogs well behaved, the training that you do at Joey's Pet Outfitters is absolutely amazing when it comes to how well your dogs behave. And I know a lot of it is because of the e-collars. So why don't you talk a little bit about what it is that you do out there?
Yeah, sure. The e-collars are great. They're a great tool. I mean, they're a tool. Our training director, Tanya Johnson, started using them a number of years ago just because she was so impressed with how flexible they were. And obviously, we're talking a little bit about off-leash control here. And obviously, a remote collar allows you to make a touch or make a correction or, you know, make an attention-grabbing stimulus from far away, or if, you know, you don't have to be right there. You don't have to, if you have a dog that's faster than you, if you're older, things like that, you can still exercise quite a bit of control over your dog. You know, people that probably there's probably a lot of listeners that watch The Dog Whisperer, who watch Cesar Millan. One of the most interesting things to me that has been always his corrective touch has always been sort of to simulate a bite. And, you know, it's kind of with his fingers there where he just kind of jabs at their neck or at a part of their body to surprise them, snap them out of whatever behavior, focus, fixation they might have. And a remote collar does that from anywhere. And, you know, the way Tanya uses these collars is in a way to do that. It's a communication tool. A website that I really should refer listeners to, it's called thetruthaboutshockcollars.com. It's run by the owner of a training school in Wisconsin. Her name is Robin McFarlane, and she is world-renowned, really. She's trained dogs all over the world. And this is where Tanya went to study the e-collar method. She was already a professional trainer beforehand. But this website really does a great job of explaining and showing, demonstrating how the tool should be used. And like Mike said, you know, this tool can be very improperly used. But when it's properly used, it's a fantastic tool that really helps professionals. And once novices are trained, really helps them understand what they're doing. It's not too hard to learn. And it's very fast, and the dogs are, everybody is so balanced and calm and happy. There's no yelling, there's no running, there's no kicking and screaming. I mean, you have so much control with a relatively little use of relatively little physical exertion, you know, very calm situation.
Right. Well, and what's interesting to me, the benefit you mentioned when the dog is faster or you're a little older, I'm trying not to take offense at that, even though I
No,
will,
you should, though.
Well, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will be the first one to say that when my dogs are running around and they're quite a distance away from me, literally hundreds of yards, to be able to get their attention when they're not even looking in your direction, you can holler, but they may not necessarily want to hear you. But when you use that, you can instantly get their attention.
Yeah.
And that is so helpful to be able to bring them back into the reality and keep that control over it. But it Yep. is an important tool. Now, one of the things that a lot of people are afraid of is they feel like it's going to hurt the animal. And you were saying that the actual build of the dog, people aren't really giving consideration
Oh,
to that. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's much, much different. You know, the dog's neck is very strong, a lot of muscle in it. you know, we think of, a lot of people are very adverse to, say, a choke collar, for instance. You know, the idea, I mean, we think about if somebody put a collar around our neck and jerked that collar, I mean, look what happens to football players, the injuries they can get, you know, with their necks. Our necks are, relative to most species on the planet, are probably pretty weak relative to the size of our bodies, the strength in other muscles that we have. For a dog, the neck is one of the most strong muscles or muscle sets areas in the body. I mean, you got to think of the neck connected to the jaw. They use the jaw to, I mean, some breeds to be able to clamp down with incredible force and kill prey. I mean, they have to, I mean, look at the way they shake their head to kill an animal, or to, you know, when they're killing a toy, so to speak, you know, they shake that so violently. We could never do that with our neck. So you got to think more like strapping the collar to our thighs in terms of the level of comfort or discomfort. And then, you know, that this is a huge part of understanding how to use it with the help of a professional. When you use the collar correctly, you're not cranking the collar up to hurt them. And the collars that we use, the brand that we recommend, has so many subtle levels on it. I mean, the levels that we're using, we're working in the level that causes sort of really, really a tickle. We put them to people's hands and show them, you know, and this is in the palm of your hand. So again, a kind of a sensitive area, a weak area. We get them up into the 20s and the 30s and the level of the collar, and they're going, I can't even feel that, until they get into maybe 22, 30, something like that. And usually the dog's working on a 10 or a 12. So much of it, you know, you watch Caesar on Dog Whisperer. I always use him as a great example because people get to see him and watch him do what he does. You know, that bite touch, it's not painful. Usually, if anything, it surprises them. And dogs are dogs. You know, even if you are fast enough and you were athletic enough to run around, you or you had a smaller dog, sometimes, and like you said, you know, with an e-collar, they don't even have to be looking at you. You know, a dog has a lot of innate skills that allow it to ignore you. So when you use the e-collar, it's when you, because it's at the neck and it simulates that bite and simulates that kind of correction that it would receive from a pack leader or a mother. You kind of bring yourself into their world a little bit with the tool. And of course, you need to do that in your state of mind and your energy and the way you understand how to use the tool. And you need to have the right behavior yourself. It's all about the owner. The collar is a tool. But the collar does really help you get into sort of that primal level with the dog. No matter what the dog's doing, he says, I'm going to ignore you. You can tap that button. And they go, oh, no, I can't. This human that seems to not be able to keep up with me, not be able to always give me a bite or tackle me, you know, like another dog would when I'm acting up. Somehow he always seems to get me. You know, they don't understand, but it's that collar. It's great, especially for folks, obviously, when their dog's off leash. But even when they're on leash, even when they're close to you, you know, our fingers don't work the way a dog's jaws do. So,
right.
Well, and Mike, you've mentioned to me before the importance of this training, that if people are going to go that way, it's great to have the vocal training over the animal and to be able to use other methods. But sometimes if you've got a deaf dog, or again, at a distance, sometimes it gets a little bit tough. What are your thoughts on what Derek was saying?
I love what I'm hearing, because my biggest beef with the e-collars is people go buy them to solve a bunch of problems that, first of all, they don't understand what's causing the problem. And then they don't know how to apply that collar properly if it is a warranted problem that the collar can help them solve. I love and I've said it before, I'm going to say it 100 times again, I wish people were required to take on some type of training before they're allowed to walk out the door and strap that onto their dog, because I see that they're used so improperly. It's nice to have a place in the area where I can refer people to who want to use that piece of equipment, that tool in their toolbox. I can refer them out there and know that they're going to get the proper training before they walk out the door with the equipment.
And Mike, I don't know if you sell any gear to your customers and stuff, but in a retail setting, I know there's a lot of people buying a lot of tools and misusing them. There's a lot of tools that you can misuse. People buy harnesses to stop pulling. Well, what does a dog? What does a sled dog wear in the Iditarod?
Absolutely.
Hello, you're creating leverage. The dog goes, oh, okay, this is what we want here. Let's make me more powerful. So
well, the choke chain collar. I mean,
the choke. Yeah.
I put this collar on my dog, and he's pulling. He's choking.
Pinch collars. All this stuff. You know, goes, yeah. Oh, this is bad. This is good. This is bad. In the right hands, of course, it's just the e-collar. Of course, it has probably more potential for negative side effects of misuse. You know, you can't really misuse a harness in terms of making the dog traumatized or things like that. But if you misuse an e-collar, obviously you have bigger consequences. So you need to understand how to use it. So,
well, and the most important thing that I've heard from both of you today, the importance of the first time you've got your dog, you don't want to take him to a dog park before you've established, properly socialized the dog, and you have the proper tools and equipment in order to keep that control over the dog, because that's what gives dog parks a bad name when it comes to bad experiences, is people who aren't prepared to control their dog or don't have the proper tools with which to do it.
And if you don't know how to do that, there are people available in the area that would be more than happy to help you make good decisions and choices before you enter that environment.
And like you mentioned, you know, it's good to have voice control and things like that. I think Mike would agree. You know, there's vocal control. There's you know, you don't have control because of what sort of tone of voice and what you're saying. It's a state of mind, and it's not about using vocal control. You know, all I do is say things to the dog, or remote collars. It's about how you project things to
right.
the dog. So,
well, we're going to continue this conversation after the break and get the opinions about the dog park and talk about a new dog park coming to the Williamston area right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.